Mina Kimes, the draft is in Detroit this year, and I'm seeing this individual named Marshall all over my television, which begs the question, what is your favorite Eminem song?
Ooh, this is so embarrassing. Lose Yourself is one of my favorite workout songs.
Mina. We were hoping for a deep dive.
Get some people going.
Very well. In reality, though, this draft is kind of got the feeling we got going into 2021 QB-wise. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Am I off base here?
Well, I think you're on base in so far as a lot of quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. And the 2021 draft is now sort of being pointed to as a warning to that end, because all of the names that you just said, except for Trevor Lawrence, are no longer on the teams that drafted them, with Zach Wilson moving to the Denver Broncos. But I'll say this, you only have to go back 1 year before to hit Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts also, by the way, a draft that now looks unbelievably successful for quarterbacks.
My favorite Slim song, Role Model. Don't you want to grow up to be just like me? Weird song. The 2024 NFL Draft is tonight in the Motor City, and as just about everyone has been saying for months, the Bears will be calling USC's Caleb Williams with the first pick. But after that, it starts to get a little murky. What will the other teams do? Will they trade down, or will they take one of the other potentially franchise-altering QBs? Today, our NFL expert Mina Kimes explains just who could go where and why the primetime picks this year will be all about the offense. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Thursday, April 25th. This is ESPN Daily. Mina, let's start with Caleb Williams. We've got a pretty good idea that he's going to the Bears, but who are they getting as a player? The 2022 Heisman Trophy winner, or the guy who couldn't beat Utah and was kind of underwhelming last season?
I think they're getting a quarterback who is going to look a lot better than he did last year, which is kind of wild to say about a player who's going from college to the NFL, of course. But I think some of Caleb's ups and downs, shall we call them, last season, a lot of them actually were a product of his circumstances. Playing for a USC team with a defense that routinely gave up multiple touchdowns a game and sort of led him to play hero ball at times, as well as an offensive line that was quite leaky. And what's wild, Clint, is, and this is really unusual for a number one overall pick, he joins a pretty good Bears team. And of course, the reason they have that pick is because it belonged to the Carolina Panthers, who traded to them to go up and get Bryce Young. But because of that, because Caleb's joining a team that's significantly better than the one Justin Fields joined a few years ago, well, I think he is less likely to show some of the bad habits we saw from him this past season.
Can you tell the people a little bit about what his skill set is for those who are on the more cynical side of what I just described, Caleb Williams, that is?
So, you know, when people think of Caleb Williams, they think of the unbelievable Mahomesian out of structure playmaking. Can I use Mahomesian as an adjective? I think we all know.
Yes,
what I mean,
please.
By that. It's arm talent. It's the off-platform throws.
Caleb is looking for just about anybody. This is where he really is devastating when he starts becoming a maestro. Look at, there it is, touchdown. Dorian Singer.
Jiminy.
It's, you know, him running around back there like, you know, a magician.
Then out of the shotgun. Williams is going to keep it. Look out. Caleb Williams. He may get there. It is touchdown.
But what I want to tell you, Clinton, or I guess what I want to stress is that's not all there is to his game. And with him, the question isn't, you know, can he play in structure? Can he play quarterback in the NFL? But more so, will he?
I think the thing for me, having seen him play up close a couple times in Colorado and out here in Los Angeles over the years, is that when you got that guy, you just don't feel like you're going to lose. That, to me, sometimes feels like a more important quality in the NFL than people give credit for. But After Caleb goes, this is where the drama starts, because the next two teams, Washington, my hometown, they're at number two, and New England, they're at number three, and they're both probably looking to restart at the quarterback position. There's two names out there, they're neck and neck. Jaden Daniels out of LSU and Drake May out of North Carolina. If Washington goes with Drake May, that'll be two North Carolina quarterbacks they've selected in recent years. But what can you tell us about both of those guys, Mia?
Both players that I really like a lot, Clinton. I want to start there because I feel like in this process, when Daniels and May are pitted against each other, as they so often are, you get kind of forced into being a Daniels advocate or a May supporter, and you have to be super down on the other player. And I don't feel that way. Maybe it's a little bit of a cop-out or a political answer, but I like them both. They're both really exciting, fun to watch college players. I'll start with Daniels. I mean, you know, there's a reason why he won the Heisman. His tape from last season is amazing. Just throws the prettiest slot fade you'll see in college football.
Daniels looking to the end zone. Watchers, neighbors. Touchdown LSU. Beautiful throw by Daniels. He liked that.
And then when he isn't attacking deep, he is using his legs. He's an incredible scrambler.
Daniels pulls it. Takes it himself. He's got the sideline. Jaden Daniels off to the races. And a bend back inside. He takes it to the house. 85 yards for Daniels. What a moment.
I would watch the Florida game as one that I recommend to see how electric he is as a runner. And yeah, it's very easy to see why Washington is rumored to be taking him second overall. May, on the other hand, electric. It's similar to Caleb in some ways, his ability to make plays outside of structure. He has an unbelievable arm. He can make every throw. Really, really effective as a scrambler. He's very big, which I think is one advantage he does have over Daniels. Some issues this last season with accuracy and decision-making at times. I think some of that had to do with his circumstances as well. But with him, you're really taking a bet on a prospect whose ceiling feels like it could be maybe as high as anyone's in this class.
We got to round out the top five. Arizona's at four. The Los Angeles Chargers are at five. Both of these squads are in rebuilding mode, but they both already have quarterbacks. Is this a spot where either team could jump up and nab, I don't know, JJ McCarthy out of Michigan? There are connections here.
Yeah, definitely. These are the two spots that everybody is looking to as potential trade down partners for a team like, say, Minnesota, who is a team that has made no secret about the fact that they need a quarterback. And it's a really interesting debate, I think, for both of these teams, whether they should trade down, because, as you said, they're both in rebuilding mode, both have massive needs on their roster, but both also have the opportunity at picks 4 and 5 to grab franchise players. There's so much talent at the top of the draft. And if you're a team like Arizona that already has additional draft capital from your trade last year with Houston, at a certain point, those picks start having to become players. So it's going to be tempting, I think, for them to just stay put and take one of those players. And then there's the question, of course, as for a team like Minnesota or Denver or Vegas, do you need to jump up to get JJ McCarthy? Because to do that, you have to believe you're either competing with other teams or that the New York Giants at six are interested in taking JJ McCarthy as a replacement for Daniel Jones.
This is also a spot where we're probably going to see one of the big three receivers go in this draft. Let's name them. We've got Marvin Harrison Jr. We've got Malik, Won't You Be My Neighbors, and Rome Odunze, who's the player I like the most after watching him with your Washington Huskies all season. Can you rate these three guys as prospects?
1A, 1B, 1C. I know I said I was copping out earlier with the quarterbacks, but I really believe these three wide receivers are unbelievable. And it's very hard for me, Clinton, to imagine any of them not succeeding in the NFL. Harrison Jr. is my number one just because I think he's so complete. His route running, his catching ability, his body control, his size, his speed. I mean, he really has it all. He doesn't have Malik Nabers' explosiveness after the catch, or I think Odunze's contested catch ability is a little bit better. But Harrison Jr., I think, is probably the most complete of the three, which is why I would have him one. And then maybe Nabers and Odunze, but for me, between the two of them, it really depends more on the team and what you need.
So there's a good chance we'll have two of the top three receivers still on the board, along with Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia. I love that guy. And the next tier of QBs, Bo Nix, who was in college forever, God bless him, and Michael Penix, who threw to Rome Odunze. How do these guys fit in to that top 10 discussion?
So I think Brock Bowers is the most likely, after the three receivers, to go in the top 10. The New York Jets at 10 are the team that feels like everybody's kind of earmarking him for, a team that probably should take an offensive tackle, if we're being honest, Clinton, but will be so tempted by Bowers and his immediate day one impact. It is not entirely surprising that they would take a player who I view as one of the best tight end prospects I've ever seen. The next year of quarterbacks is where things get a little bit dicier. Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. Candidly, I have heard rumors rather that they'll be drafted anywhere from the middle of the first round to the middle of the second round. And I truly don't know how to parse this out. Penix Jr. is one I would keep an eye on. I mentioned the Raiders. 13 maybe feels a little bit rich for him, but perhaps there's an opportunity for them to trade back and then take him, or to trade up and take him. But we'll see. It's really hard to know at this moment.
Let's drill down on Brock for a little bit, because we'll get into a little capology here. When you look at the franchise tag cost of a tight end down the line versus a receiver, is that something a front office takes into consideration when choosing between a tight end, be it Bowers or not, or say the fourth best option at wide receiver?
Economic aspect is very important when it comes to where Brock Bowers gets drafted. Because to your point, like, so the Jets are picking 10th overall, right? If you take a wide receiver that they took Garrett Wilson there, you're getting a player at a fraction of what you would pay a top of the line wide receiver. We're seeing wide receiver contracts come in over $25 million a year. Massive savings to pay a player on a rookie contract, like $5 million a year or so. With a tight end, you're not really saving that much money. I mean, top tight ends make, you know, 12-ish or so. So the cost benefit of getting that player on that contract is not as alluring. That said, at a certain point, you know, if the player is good enough, he might still be worth it to a team, especially a team like the Jets, where they are trying to win now. The future savings might not matter as much to them as the potential day one impact of the player.
Please just tell me the Bolts are going to pick him. They need him badly.
I don't think so. I think your Bolts are
either
going to trade down or make everyone's day miserable and take an offensive tackle instead of a receiver.
The joke here is that amongst people who act like they care about football but don't, is that the Chargers are the most popular team in Los Angeles. I'm only half making that up. Anyway, coming up, what's going on the defensive side of the ball? Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Okay, Mina, we have yet to talk about any defensive players yet. Is this a draft that's missing the kind of game-changing talent at edge rusher or DB that we normally see go in that top 10-15 range?
You know, Clinton, I think it's a mix of things that might be why we're not really talking about defensive players going there. One is I just think the offensive players are so good. I also do think, however, there's no Will Anderson Jr. type prospect in this class, a defensive star where the college production, the athleticism, and then a team that really, really needs them the way Houston needed an edge rusher last year.
Apparently, it's a very deep draft for offensive tackles. And the only reason I say apparently is because I feel like casual football fans only learn that the week of the draft because they don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. What are we looking at here in terms of somebody that might go off the board, one of the heavies, on the first day?
I've been doing these mock drafts on the Mina Kimes show, and I had Booger McFarland on. I think he took 10 or no, maybe 11 offensive linemen in the first round, which has never happened. So keep an eye out for that if you like history. As far as who will go first, it's almost universally expected that Joe Alt, the left tackle out of Notre Dame, will be the first tackle taken. I think the question is whether he goes fifth to the Chargers or seventh to the Titans. The Titans are the team at seven that it's almost written in stone. They're going to take an offensive line because they need one so desperately. So I would be very surprised if he falls below that.
The running back position has changed so much in the NFL, not just from a execution standpoint in offenses, but from a perception one as well, between guys not getting paid, perhaps getting paid, the value of the position now that quarterbacks run so much. That being said, what does it look like for that position going into the first couple of days of this draft, and who stands out for you as a fit at the next level?
Don't think we will see a running back taken the first round. That would be an absolute stunner. And Clinton, I'd be surprised if we see more than maybe one or two taken in the second. And there's a few reasons behind that. Certainly, I think views of the position, all the teams taking a committee approach to it, teams finding value in free agency. We saw a ton of running backs switch teams, reasonable contracts handed out. But also, this is not one of the better running back classes we've seen. And I've watched, I'd say quite a few of them. I feel that way. I'm in agreement with at least what's rumored to be the view of the NFL in that regard. There's no Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson type. I do like a guy who followed Robinson at Texas and Jonathan Brooks. I think he's most likely to be the first running back taken. Really nice all around skill set, very good contact balance. He's explosive. He's going to be coming off an injury. I might ding him a little bit, but I have to think he will be the first to go. And a lot of people have been linking him with the Dallas Cowboys, which would mean he would stay home.
We're getting a little deep into this, but I do want to know your personal opinion because of how much football you actually watch. Do you enjoy this, the phasing out of the running back position from a football standpoint as far as what we get? Or is this just kind of an inevitability kind of economically?
Well, I wouldn't say running matters less, although another factor is certainly teams passing more on early downs. But, we've seen a lot of teams with dominant run games have a lot of success in the playoffs. The Lions, great example. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers being another one. And then, a couple years ago in the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs, both teams with really good run games. But, I think for me, what bums me out is less of the impact on football itself and more the reality that it's very difficult or it's hard to watch for players who, don't get paid in college or now they're making NIL money, come to the NFL. And then after their rookie contract, which they're locked into, don't really get to tap into the earnings potential the way other positions do because of the dynamics of the game.
Coming up, Mina tells us who she's looking for the Seahawks to take. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Okay, let's take a step back in thinking about the draft in full. There's a lot of depth at wide receiver. You mentioned the offensive line, but who do you have your eye on as just in general kind of a diamond in the rough player-wise?
I mean, there's so many receivers that I could point to. Clinton, who will probably go in the second round, who I think are going to be just terrific in the NFL. It's a lot of slot guys. I mean, my Huskies, you know, we talked about Michael Penix Jr., Rome Odunze, Jalen Polk, who is likely to be the second Huskies receiver drafted. We'll see if if he cracks the first round or is taken in the second. I think he is going to be tremendous in the NFL. He's got amazing hands, super good play strength, really good route runner. He's just the kind of player where I feel like the floor is high enough that I feel confident he'll have success in the league.
One of the things about being a good franchise in the NFL is that obviously you draft well no matter where you pick. And some of the best teams have late first round picks. We look at the Chiefs, the Niners, the Eagles, the Lions, the Bills, the Ravens, the Dolphins. Is there a situation in which you think we're going to look back down the line and say, can you believe they got him there in the draft?
Well, I mentioned Polk. I could see the Chiefs taking him and he catches a million passes from Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs last year had the worst drop rate in the NFL. Everybody knows that. You don't really have to see the numbers. And I think he would go a long way towards remedying that. For me, I think one player that I would be interested if he drops, we'll see the Eagles at 22 seem like a possibility. If he were to drop to the Ravens, it'd be wild, is Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa.
Under pressure and throws the ball away. And they're going to say this is an interception along the sideline for Iowa. That is inbounds for Cooper DeJean. What a play for the second interception of the year for DeJean.
Just a phenomenal zone corner. So anticipatory, so good at reading quarterbacks and figuring out where they want to go with the football. And then aggressive and athletic. Has, I think, a game that really translates well for a lot of the teams that you mentioned. And I think brings positional versatility that could make him really, really dynamic in the league.
Very important question. The Seahawks, right in the middle of round one. They got a defensive-minded head coach in Mike McDonald, a new O coordinator in Ryan Grubb. Where are you looking for the Seahawks to go with the 16th pick to kick off this new era, air quotes?
I think they would be best served by drafting in the trenches on either side of the football. Offensive line, interior, Troy Fautanu out of UW, Graham Barton out of Duke would both be good choices. Jackson Bauer Johnson, even the center out of Oregon. Defensively, you and I talked about how because of the spate of offensive players likely to go early, teams picking later will have their pick of some pretty interesting guys. And I think if they were to grab Byron Murphy Jr., defensive tackle out of Texas, Johnny Newton out of Illinois, or a pass rusher like Laiatu Latu, Jared Verse, UCLA and FSU, all of those picks would make me very happy, Clinton, which means more likely than not that they're just going to trade down.
Last thing I'll ask you, I remember in Nashville when Broadway was jumping, there were 600,000 people there that weekend. It was completely off the chain. What are you expecting vibes-wise in the Motor City?
I think it's going to be amazing because the fan base is so energized there right now, right? I mean, you saw that watching the Lions in the playoffs. It is really cool when a fan base like that, that has been through such hard times, gets to experience success. And then when you have that going into the draft, it wouldn't surprise me if we see tons and tons of Lions fans on the streets, even though it's supposed to be a little chilly.
They'll be singing Mina's favorite workout song. Thank you, Mina.
I hope so. It's a good song.
The 2024 NFL Draft airs live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.